Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Professor Adrian Puren is Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you very much, Howard. I hope you're all well. Thank you.
I am indeed. So the numbers are incredibly low. I mean, yes, I know last night was a Monday night. We always get lower numbers then. But, I mean, literally a couple of hundred cases throughout the country. That's staggeringly low.
Yes, it is. In fact, and when I think we compare that to the first and second resurgence, I think that these numbers are far lower. And but I suppose we just need to be cautious as to how and what type of testing is done out there. There are some lags, as you quite likely say. There may be less testing over the weekends. Antigen testing is occurring to a greater extent than previous resurgences, mm-hmm. and that may contribute to us not really getting a full picture as well. So, yeah, but nevertheless, I think that that's quite comforting that we're reaching such low levels, and hope that we can keep those levels there. But you're quite right. Maybe we will expect something to happen over the next month or two. But let's hope it's not to the extent we've seen in the second and third resurgence, unless we have another variant that will come along and, of course, dispel those myths that we want to keep the levels low. Yes.
There is talk of this, I don't know why we're now going with a whole bunch of letters, and it's like a passcode, that this new one, there's no way anyone can remember it, but it's AY point something dot something reverse slash something.
Yes.
Are we, how worried should we be about this one?
I think again, I think why it's still called that is because I think it's still a variant of interest,
right.
At least in the UK. Where I think the levels are below 10%. It has been increasing. I think there's no evidence as yet from laboratory-based experience whether or not the behavior of this particular variant is any different from Delta. And I think it's only once I think that the WHO declares it as a variant of interest or of concern will we get the next Greek letter at least, yes. So I think that's why it still has.
Oh, I see. So you've really got to earn your Greek. You've really got to earn your Greek letter.
You really have to, like Delta has.
Right, exactly. There's a prize that nobody wants.
No, absolutely.
Is there any update? Because I still find it, I have to tell you, really, really odd that we still haven't rolled out or started rolling out the booster shots for our medical workers. I'm not even a medical worker and I'm panicking about this.
Yes, it is interesting. I'm not sure, again, as you know, the NICD is not necessarily part of the decision-making, and we certainly contribute to some of the discussions. I'm not sure what the discussions are for that type of decision-making to come into effect. It may well be to do with logistics, or even then, you know, it is possibly feasible to roll that out. But I suppose it's also caught in that, you know, those discussions, even though I know that we have spoken about the introduction of boosters, but under what circumstances are we at this point where we do really, really need to introduce boosters versus getting our vaccine campaigns? But again, it shouldn't always be that either or dichotomy.
Right, and especially because we've started vaccinating the 12 to 18 year olds, one really would have thought, and as we've spoken about that as well, but one really would have thought that the healthcare workers should be front of the line.
Yeah, in essay, because of the time as well, you know, they have been the first to be vaccinated. So we do expect to see, at least in that particular group, some degree of waning. Again, but I think the debates are around, and I think that that's the important information that I think the Department of Health will, I hope, release soon as well, is to see the extent of breakthrough infections. I mean, I think that that's also an important consideration in terms of what is the vaccine effectiveness currently within that particular group, for us to be able to be introducing the vaccine in terms of disease. Is it mild or moderate? And or are we seeing more severe disease in those particular breakthrough infections? I hope not. But let's see what the data shows as well to make those types of of decisions.
Right. Yes. In terms of a build up towards a possible fourth wave, if people are looking at it and saying, well, should I book for my December holiday? Will it be safe to do so? What is the general time that it takes to go from, let's say, where we're at now to be in a much more serious situation? Is it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks? What have we seen in terms of the behavior of this virus?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen it, you know, in terms of the resurgence. Obviously, it was fairly, I think it was about a month or two when once we did notice that variant, I think it is, that, you know, thereafter, it certainly then certainly took off quite rapidly. So I think it just depends on the nature of if there is a new variant that will come along. But if it's still Delta, then I think it's a matter of what are the other factors that we need to take into account. What is our behavior like, in other words, which, as you know, is really an important consideration and has
been. Right, and we're heading for an election. Is that going to be a problem as well? I guess that these are also things we need to look at.
Yes. My sense for some of that may well be localized events. You know, in the sense of community outbreaks or spikes and so forth, rather than, you know, leading on to major events, turning into, you know, leading to an actual resurgence. I think the debate is whether or not we're just going to see more localized, heterogeneous outbreaks rather than just a massive resurgence, or do we just be based on, if we do get good adherence to any, you know, MPIs, but if we don't, maybe we'll see a wave, but maybe not to the same extent as we've certainly seen, and maybe of longer duration, as well as the contribution of the vaccine program as well. I think that may well be an important contributor, as well as the extent to which the numbers of people that have been exposed to the virus. I think those are the types of factors, I think, that may well contribute to what type of resurgence we may see. Mm. It may be different at different times, again, as we saw in this particular resurgence, or, and as I said, possibly smaller waves, if you like, rather than the massive waves that we have seen previously. And hopefully that will mean, and it does not mean that we shouldn't be getting ready in terms of our hospital capacity and oxygen supplies, ICU, and sufficient staff, to be ready, but perhaps that resurgence may not be as overwhelming as, for example, that we've currently seen in the previous two resurgences. Mm,
mm. Well, let's hope that is the case. Do we think that there's a chance that we have almost reached some form of herd immunity between, obviously the vaccines aren't that high enough yet, but in terms of the number of people vaccinated, but that combined with the number of people who have suffered from COVID-19?
Yeah, as you know, Howard, we've discussed some of the complexities around interpreting what so-called herd immunity or herd protection would look like. And obviously it's become a bit more difficult given the level of vaccine effectiveness, and the nature of the Delta variant. But yes, I think it certainly would contribute. And I think that's why I think there may well be arguments that, we will have achieved a certain level of, herd protection that will allow us to see smaller or different waves or more heterogeneous waves and spikes rather than the massive resurgences that we did see previously. But again, this is all contingent on the fact that, you know, what is our use of the non-pharmaceutical interventions, both at a personal and at a country level, as well as our vaccine campaigns to contribute to that.